Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman, here as always with Mike Morial. Mike, how are things back in the home office?
Adam, we are doing very well. We have a great show on tap today. We got Al Jensen of NHL Central Scouting, the goalie guru, of course. And now look, Adam, you and I agree. And real quickly, you and I agree. When it comes to goalies, drafting goalies, we always say, get one in any round. It doesn't matter which round. Just do it, right?
For sure. I don't believe we're going to see one in the first round this year, but if anybody's going to know who could go where amongst the goalies, it's going to be Al.
Yep. It's the most important position on the ice and one that impacts the chances that a franchise has of eventually maybe winning that Stanley Cup. So let's get right into it. Al Jensen of NHL Central Scouting, thanks for taking some time today to join us on NHL Draft Class to talk goaltenders. So at the top of the North American list, Al, is Mikhail Yagorov of Omaha. He's been impressive his first season in North America in the USHL after playing in Russia last season. The numbers don't really pop, but you need to watch him to play to fully understand and appreciate the potential of this kid. Goes about 6'4", 180 pounds. What has stood out to you and to have that confidence in putting him number one on the North American goalie list?
Well, Mike, to start with, like, he started off the year, he didn't play a whole lot. He didn't end up playing on a very good team this year, unfortunately. So he faced a lot of shots, a lot of quality shots. So I think his numbers aren't really that bad considering the team he played on. He's actually just, the numbers wise, is just below some of our top end goalies that played on some good teams in that. A 6'4 and a half goalie that moves well and didn't play much at the start of the year, like I mentioned, but became the starter and was played a lot throughout the second half of the season. The kid has a huge upside. Just the way he plays the game, he's a very smart and technically, his technical game is sound. Like next year, he's going to be playing most likely with Omaha again next year. I won't be going to BU until 2025. So here's a kid that size, moves well, has a great structure in his game. You've got 4 to 6 years with this kid and to develop. I just see such a huge upside with this kid, especially with the NHL goalies nowadays, Mike. When he's on, like, he covers a lot of the net and quickly. I just see a huge upside on him. It was actually for me an easy choice for me to put him up at number one for the final rankings.
You mentioned in 4 to 6 years, he may develop into that quality goaltender that maybe he'll be play a significant role for an NHL team. I'm curious, what's your take on goaltending in general when it comes to the draft? Because Adam and I have always felt that, you know, every team should consider drafting at least one goalie each draft, no matter what round it might be in. I guess it also depends on the amount of picks you possess, but you just never know when you might uncover a diamond in the rough. What do you think?
Yeah, I kind of tend to agree with you for the most part on that, Mike. I think I know a lot of organizations feel this way. They do try to pick a goalie every year. But I think a lot of it too depends on how many goalies a particular organization already has in their organization, who they've got in the minors, who they've got playing junior still. Maybe they need to fill some other holes in their lineup where they don't have to possibly in a particular year. Maybe when a goalie draft year maybe isn't as strong as maybe it's some other years, they might pass on maybe a goalie in a certain year. But I feel you can never have too many goalies in the system. I ran into goalies, you know, I was in the system with Washington and goalies retired, goalies got hurt, I got a chance to play. You tend to climb the ladder quickly, and you just don't know who you have in your system. The goalies take a long time to develop, and you could end up having a surprise in your system, and then 4 or 5 years, it could turn out to be end up being like a top end goalie in the NHL. You just don't know. So to answer your question, I personally feel that it's good to have as many goalies as you can in the draft, but it doesn't necessarily mean you have to get one every single draft. It depends on your organization.
Yeah, it's an interesting talking point, and true to, you know, to what you said there, I guess it depends on the team and how many goalies they do have in their system. So it's interesting, though. What can you tell us, Al, about the two National Team Development Program goalies on the list? Number 4 is Nick Kempf, and number 13, John Parsons. Maybe how they differ in styles. I know Kempf is headed to Notre Dame next season, and Parsons is headed to Providence. They split games this year, it seems, pretty evenly. But what kind of differences, what do you like about each?
Well, Mike, yeah, with the two U.S. goalies, development goalies, they're, I find this year they're both have different styles. And I feel that coming into the year, I don't think Parsons had as strong a year as I think even he expected. He kind of struggled at times throughout the year, but it doesn't mean he doesn't have potential. He's a big kid. He moves well. I think he just struggled a little bit with his confidence throughout the year. And when you lose your confidence, it really affects your game. But when he's on, there's some really good aspects in his game that you can really work with. And I think down the road, I think he can really get his game in order and become a really good pro goalie down the road. With Nicholas Kempf, I wasn't expecting as much from him entering this year. I didn't expect him to be as good a goalie as he actually turned out to be, Mike. I really like the feel of the game he has. He's not a cookie cutter goalie, and he's got great instincts, and he's got great competitiveness. I like his footwork. He's got an excellent butterfly. And I just like that part of his structure in his game. He's got great mechanics, and he's very efficient in his crease movements. There's a lot that I like about his game, and those are one of the key ones, is his instincts. He's got, I feel, he doesn't rely specifically on just his structure. He's got his instincts and his compete. I can see it. I see it in his preparation in games too. Like when I go to a game, when I see him even warming up in warmups, I see that NHL preparation in him that you need to have when you're in the NHL pro levels. And I see that in him already, which is a good sign. Is he perfect? No, there's still a lot to work with, but there's a lot to work with him. And I see a huge upside with Nicholas too. And that's why out of between the two goalies right now, I kind of have Kempf ahead of Parsons in my mind as a draft candidate, but it doesn't mean Parsons can't get his game in order and because he's got the size and he's got the ability. I just think he needs to just get that confidence. And I know that the U.S. program every year tend to play the goalies equally throughout the year, which is a good thing for them in the development because they usually play 2 games a week most times. And that allows them both to develop. So that's my feeling on both those goalies, Mike, entering the draft and their NHL potential.
Yeah. It's funny too, Al, you mentioned there in your analysis and explanation, and it's something I learned from you when I'm trying to evaluate goaltenders is I always want to be there pregame to watch the goaltenders warm up. Cause I know that was one thing that you told me when I asked for any advice you can give on trying to evaluate goaltenders. I remember you telling me this was early. This might've been 10, 12 years ago. He said, get there early, you know, watch the goalie practice. How is his body language? Is he really into the warm up? How's he doing? Say, you know, is he stopping pucks? Is he engaged with his teammates? So that's always something I have in the back of my mind when I'm trying to evaluate the goaltending position. And speaking of evaluation, Carter George was number one in the midterm ranks and is number two on the final ranking here. He's in his first full season in the Ontario Hockey League after splitting time in the OHL and the GOJHL last season. Where is his game right now, Al?
His game is as good as ever. And him being bumped down to number two is it's nothing to do with his play. That is anything negative. That's all because of it's Yegorov, is his potential, his NHL potential as well. Carter George was probably one of the most consistent goalies all year that I've seen. He rarely had an off game. He played the most out of anybody in junior period. He's played like 68 games in total when you count 56 OHL games, all four playoff games. He played the prospect game, five Pelinka Gretzky Cups, and he's already played one game with the World Junior Championship Under 18 Canada team. He's dependable. He's consistent. He never gets rattled. He's got that calm and confidence in him in all situations. He doesn't have a huge presence, Mike, but his net positioning and his coverage is better than a lot of the big goalies that are eligible in this draft. He is very smart. He's very strong. He holds his ground well. He handles the puck extremely well too, which is great for the defensemen. Probably love him in Owen Sound. So there's a lot to like about him too, even though he doesn't have that big, tall status. He plays bigger than his size, and he's so consistent. I really like the way this kid plays.
Hey, Al, I'm just curious. What are your thoughts on how young goalies are mentored in minor hockey these days? Do you like what you see, and how dramatic has it changed from when you played in the NHL?
Yeah, it certainly has changed, that's for sure, especially in minor hockey, Mike, compared to when I played. You remember, when I played, I didn't have my first goalie coach until I was actually with the Washington Capitals. Warren Strelo, the former U.S. 1980 gold medal winner, and he was mentoring Jim Craig there. I used to have to watch, I was watching Bernie Perron. He was my favorite goalie in the NHL. So I'd have to, when they were on TV, I used to have to, that's who I watched. And I tried to play his style. I certainly wasn't at his as good as he was, but that was my goalie coach. Up to the NHL, even though I didn't have a goalie coach, Mike, I had to learn on my own. I had to learn on my own ability, my own instincts. I had to, like, there were times where I'd be playing out of net a lot. And we used to have ice rinks in the backyard throughout the winters, and I wouldn't be playing goal. I'd be playing out of net, getting, so my skating ability was really strong. And I think that really helped in when playing goal, being able to move around in the crease, moving out, challenging. I thought that was, I think, beneficial for me, handling the puck. Nowadays, like, I see it at such a young level, which is great. The goalies are getting attention now at the young levels, which is wonderful. But I think sometimes they're being taught at such a young level, they're being taught a certain way how to play. They have to play this way. They have to play that way. If you want to be a good goalie, you have to play this way. I don't totally agree with that analysis on that. I really believe young goalies need to have attention, need to have some coaches, but they got to be able to be allowed to be themselves, allowed to be able to have instincts, to read plays. You don't have to play the same way as your goalie partner, as the other goalie down the other end. You don't have to play that way. You have to play with what your own ability. You just can't, like, there's so many instances you can see that you, if a goalie played the same way as somebody else, you would not be effective, and vice versa. I think that hurts sometimes when goalies are told they have to play a certain way in order to be good. And I think it takes away their potential and their effectiveness as they grow older in ages throughout their years. So there's a lot of, I find there's a lot of cookie cutter goalies, a lot of the goalies that are playing the same way, but it's the goalies, I think, you know, the goalies that come out and start to have good instincts, use their gloves more, just reading plays instead of being predictable. And I think a lot of goalies nowadays are predictable, like even on sharp angle shots, they know they go down in a certain way and everything else. It's just, it's nice to have goalies that are unpredictable. And to be unpredictable, you have to have good instincts, and get that, you have to develop that throughout the young years, not just one particular way. And that's how I feel on it anyway, Mike.
Yeah, that's great stuff, Al. That's really interesting. You know, it's real funny. Just a quick side note on that as well. You know, you talk to a lot of young goalies today when I'm in the locker room with the Devils or with the opposing team that's coming in, the goaltender there. And the young goalies are, you know, you talk about analytics and that type of thing. And there's goalie analytics and what the coaching staff goes through. And then I ask veteran goalies like Jake Allen, how much do you follow goalie analytics and how important is it? You know, and he looks at me and goes, well, I don't really pay much attention to it. So there's a differencing in opinion between the veteran goalies and the young goalies, which I think is real interesting. Two more here for you, Al. Lucas Mateka of Tri-City in the Western Hockey League passed over last season. The import from Czechia is number 3 in the final ranking of North American goalies. He had a real good CHL NHL top prospects game appearance. What do you like best about Mateka, 6'3", 196 pounds?
Yeah, Mike, I really like his NHL potential. He's got a huge presence. He did have a great prospect game. You're right on that. He coming over, playing with Tri-City in the Western Hockey League for his first year, he played a lot, played 35 games, had good numbers. Got injured a couple times, especially near the end there. He ran into some injuries. But the potential with this kid, we're talking 4 or 5 years down the road. He's big. He's strong. He's a competitor. He's got good lateral play, quickness. You look at an NHL goalie guy, if he gets in their system, there's a goalie guy would love to have him in their system because there's a lot to work with. I can see him all of a sudden in a few years, seeing him getting a chance to play in the NHL someday. You're going to see his name. He's got that potential with being a 6'3" kid, being that strong and that competitive.
Is there a goalie among your top 20, Al, that maybe we didn't discuss today who you feel could be a nice sleeper late in the draft?
There might be a couple goalies that I might be able to mention for you that maybe be a sleeper. And the reason why maybe they might be a sleeper, I look at number 17, Thatcher Bernstein. Here's a kid that's 6'3.5", played at Tri-City in the USHL. He's not going to Harvard until 2025. His numbers were not good this year. So with his not, and he only played 10 games. So here's a kid that came out of prep school, played in the USHL, which is a big jump. You don't play a lot, but he has very good structure. He's got good size. I like his potential. I can see this kid all of a sudden getting some games, gaining that confidence, turning out to be a top end goalie. But there might be some teams that might shy away from him this year because he didn't have a successful year. But with development, there's a lot of potential with this kid. I see it in him. With another year back in Tri-City next year will do him wonders, because he doesn't go to Harvard until 2025. So he's one of them. The other kid maybe that I can bring up for you that might be is another big kid, right-handed catching, Jaden Cholet from Mount St. Charles. And the reason why maybe some teams might shy away is he doesn't have a school commitment yet. I'm not sure where he stands on that. He's a London Knight OHL draft. This kid is really good. He's a big kid that moves well. He's got great instincts. He's a little bit too relaxed at the moment, but he's calm and he's got that relaxed style. But I like his instincts. There's something there in this kid, and I think he could be one of those sleepers, Michael, as well. So that's why I'd say maybe one of those two guys could be maybe a sleeper, but that doesn't take away some of the other guys that are on this list too that are around. They're not taking anything away, but those are the reasons why maybe they might be a sleeper.
Al Jensen, great stuff. Thanks for all the hard work you put in each season. Goaltending is such a hard position to gauge and so tough for teams to determine when to make that move in the draft. So we appreciate you coming on and sharing your thoughts with us on NHL Draft Class.
Thanks, Mike.
Some great stuff there from Al Jensen, Adam. A lot to unpack. What kind of caught your ear?
Well, you kind of tipped it right off the top with Mikhail Yegorov, the young man from Omaha who's number one on the North American list. You said the numbers don't necessarily tell the truth, the 385 goals against, 892 save percentage. And the thing that I always think of is, one of the greatest goalies of all time in his draft year, Patrick Waugh, had a 444 goals against average. I'm not going to, sit here and compare, Yegorov to Patrick Waugh, but the numbers only tell part of the story. The goalie can only be as good as the team in front of him. So there's a reason he's number one on Central's list. There's a reason he's got a chance, at 6'4 and a half, 179 pounds. He obviously needs to fill out a little bit, but there's talent there. There's size there. There's talent there. There's athleticism there. Wherever you pick him, he's not jumping right into your lineup at 18 years old, right? So he's got time to fill out, refine his game. And you'd see, my guess is better goalies will play better when they have better players in front of him. So I'm wondering if that could be the case for Yegorov. Obviously, I would assume Central thinks so, because that's why they have him number one on the list.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a good point there. And the thing that kind of intrigued me too is when Al started getting into Lucas Mateka of Tri-City in the Dub. Obviously, a goalie that was passed over last season. And right, Adam, we've seen this before. I mean, a lot of goaltenders are passed over in their first year of draft eligibility. Possibly they haven't played enough games. We've discussed this where they were a backup to a starter that has been already drafted or is an older, overage player. But in the case of Mateka, he's played well this year. And I think we were at the CHL Top Prospects game in Moncton this year in January. Mateka, 19 shots, 19 saves. He was outstanding in what he needed to do. And those are the moments that scouts and general managers want to see when you're put in those tough situations, those spots where it becomes tense and, the pressure starts to build and mount. And Mateka was able to prove himself in that particular game, as he has with Tri-City this entire season. A lot of the numbers, and we've seen this before, and we don't really want to touch on the goals against average or the save percentage a lot of these goalies, because they might be high. These are goaltenders that maybe are playing on teams that are maybe a little bit weaker. If they are stronger, the numbers might be better. But in Mateka's case, he had some average numbers there, looked good the entire season, has that great size, as Al mentioned, at 6'3", 196 pounds. So I like what I see out of Mateka. I think after being passed over last year, he'll certainly be a goalie, on the radar of a lot of teams, possibly, third, fourth, fifth round. So it's going to be interesting, Adam, heading down the stretch there.
You mentioned the Top Prospects game. That makes me think of Carter George from Owen Sound, who's also part of that Top Prospects game. And, you talk about guys who are goalies who are athletes. You can't just be a guy who just kind of stands there and gets in the way. Goalies need to be so much more athletic. And Carter George, his mom was an all-Canada curler, went to the played in the Olympics, the Scotties, which is huge in Canada. I'm not going to pretend to pass myself off as a curling expert, but when I talked to Carter and he explained it, he said mom is the athletic star of the family. And, you know, that's where he gets a lot of his competitiveness, a lot of his athleticism from, you know, from her, from her determination. You know, he talked about her a lot. And his sister also is a Canadian college goalie. So there's a lot of pretty high-end athleticism in that family. And Carter George is a guy, you know, he's a shade under 6'1". So he's, you know, not your prototypical goalie. But, you know, you see it right now. You look at the Vancouver Canucks National Predators playoff series, Casey DeSmith and UC Saros, both sub-6-foot goalies, both playing pretty well in a pretty important time of the year. So if you have the skill and if you have the athleticism, and again, like you mentioned with Mateka, like we talked about with Yegorov, these aren't guys you're going to draft in the first round. These aren't guys you're going to draft and expect to see in your lineup for 3, 4, even 5 years. They're going to get time in juniors, time in the American League to develop. But you can see the foundation for some of these goalies to bubble up and become significant, potentially number one goalies on pretty good NHL teams if they're given the proper time to develop and refine their game.
Yeah, great stuff there, Adam. Just real quick, the top international goalkeeper, Emil Vinny, on the international list, a Finnish goalie, hybrid butterfly style from watching the tape, reads the game well, good technique. Just needs to maybe improve the mental side of his game. When I was speaking with JP Vornin, the director of European scouting for the league, and maybe obviously as a young goalie, he needs to strengthen up, build up some strength in order to, you know, move laterally and stand up and do the things he needs to do as that type of goalie. The number two on the list, Ilya Nabokov, 6'179", no relation to the retired NHL goalie, Evgeny, but he's number two on the international list, 21 years old. He's a little older, another overage guy entering the draft again, second year eligible, but he had some real good numbers in the Continental Hockey League. 2.15 goals against, a .930 save percentage in 43 games, 3 shutouts. So this is a goalie that's going to attract a lot of interest, and I do think he'll be selected at some point mid to late draft.
Well, we're going to watch all these goalies develop along the way, and we're going to watch the rest of these players in these draft class develop along the way. You know, we had Dan Marr on in our previous episode talking about Central Scouting's final rankings, where we touched very deep on Celebrini, Levshinov, all the top-end defensemen that are going to be available in this year's draft. Other previous episodes, we've talked to Tiija Ginla, son of Jerome Ginla, and we're going to have so much more from the great minds of NHL Central Scouting talking about more of these great prospects as we get ready for Las Vegas and the 2024 NHL draft. Mike, are we excited to get out to Vegas and get going here?
We are excited, Adam. It's going to be a great stretch here the next month and a half, talking about all these prospects and getting the evaluators from NHL Central Scouting on our NHL draft class. It'll be great.
And we've also got the NHL draft lottery coming up, and with that comes the lottery mock draft. So stay tuned to NHL draft class. But for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.